This is KNKX. The only woman at the Special Commitment Center on McNeil Island in South Puget Sound has been released. Laura Faye McCollum had been civilly committed since 1997 and labeled a sexually violent predator. The host of our podcast, Forgotten Prison, talked with McCollum for the six-part series while she was still at the Commitment Center. Simone Alisea and Paula Whistle sat down with Morning Edition host Kirsten Kendrick to discuss McCollum's commitment and her conditional release. And we should note this conversation includes a mention of sexual abuse.
Paula and Simone, tell us about Laura's case.
Well, Laura McCollum in 1990 pleaded guilty to child rape in the first degree. Her victim was a two-year-old girl. She then served a 5.5-year prison sentence and then was sent to the Special Commitment Center.
Yeah, so she actually elected to go to the Commitment Center in the 90s. This is just, you know, several years after the law had been passed creating the Commitment Center. She thought it was a place where she might be able to get treatment to stop doing what she was doing. And she has been there ever since.
What was her life like at the Special Commitment Center?
Well, in many ways, it's not all that different, at least just from viewing it, you know, looking at it when we were there, from being in prison. It's surrounded by concertina wire, the facility is. She had a little more freedom of movement. You can go in and out anytime you want, outside into the yard. She would go to treatment 2 hours a week.
The other thing to point out here is that Laura was the only woman at the Special Commitment Center. She was the first woman in the country to ever be sort of given this label, the sexually violent predator label. So life was kind of difficult for her. In the beginning, you know, she was kept at the women's prison. That's where she did her commitment and then was later moved with the men. She was in group therapy with the men, and that was difficult for her because, you know, that was triggering in all kinds of ways. And so she eventually then moved to have her own treatment. You know, she was by herself in her own wing. So it was very isolating, mm-hmm. and sort of even more challenging, I think, than, you know, even the average commitment.
I think the thing that she did have in common with the men who are there is that it's an indefinite time you spend there. There is no release date. And unlike prison, where you know when you're getting out, it's a civil commitment and you aren't released until it's deemed that you are safe to release it into the community. So you can be there decades, like Laura.
And when you spoke with her for the podcast, it seems that really got to her.
Yeah, that feeling of not being able to get out. We did try to reach out to Laura through her attorney after we heard that she had been conditionally released. He declined to participate in an interview, just want to respect her privacy at this time. But when we talked to Laura back in November for the podcast, she was sort of working on submitting this plan for her conditional release. And I think just that wanting to leave was just really, really potent.
I don't want to die in this place, over on this place. I can't imagine what it was like to be an inmate here and be buried in a place that didn't even mark your grave. To have this stigma and to die here too, that's just like, I at least hope I'm on the other side, you know.
Well, she is on the other side now, off the island and on conditional release. What does that mean?
Well, it's quite restrictive. She's constantly monitored. If she goes out, there's an approved chaperone. Anything she does, from what movies she watches to where she goes, when she goes, who she goes with, has to be approved by a transition team. So and there's a curfew. She can't go out at night. She also can't be outside her home except to maybe go to the car between 6 and 9 a.m. and 2 and 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they hear, you know, that a sex offender is being released, is coming into the community, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of fear about what that means. But it's important to understand that, you know, this is a conditional release. This is not a bus ticket and you're on your way, right? There is a team. The state is still going to be highly involved in Laura's life. And the trick here is if she violates these conditions, she could be sent back to the island. So the stakes are really high in all of these.
Are the strict rules of the conditional release meant to make us safer?
prosecutors will say, yes, it's making us safer. We're locking away the worst of the worst. And other people will say, not necessarily. And is this really necessary to keep us safe? Is it really doing what it was intended to do?
You know, folks will point out, too, that when we talk about sex offender treatment, particularly for these people who the state has sort of called the worst of the worst, it's really important to build community relations for those folks. And so when you go through this really isolating commitment process, and then even on a conditional release where you still might be isolated, it brings up questions as to, again, whether the treatment aspect of this is effective.
Has Laura's victim responded to news of her conditional release?
I did call her after Laura was released, and she's angry. But she was told that there really isn't anything she can do. And she said she says she won't let it bother her, and she'll just wait and see if Laura abides by the guidelines that she has to follow.
All right. Paula and Simone, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can hear more about McCollum's case and the Special Commitment Center on McNeil Island in episode 2 of our podcast, Forgotten Prison. Details and photos are available at forgottenprison.org. And you can find the entire 6-part series wherever you get your podcasts.